Okay, today is the 25th of April, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues of Houston, and we are at our weekly Lunch and Learn, and this week's parsha is Parashat Acharei Mot Kiddushim, double parsha again. Acharei Mot is a parsha achat, and Kiddushim is a parsha... Ken, biyachad.
That's my always...
Beautiful. Fantastic. Okay, so we are going to look at a very interesting question today. Let's just set the stage. We are in the book of Vayikra, Sefer Vayikra, Perek Tet Zion,
636,
which is chapter 16, Pasuk Lamed Dalet. 644.
Got it.
Leviticus Tet Zion Lamed Dalet. Leviticus 16:34. This is the section of the Torah, one of the sections of the Torah, that deals with Yom HaKippurim. And actually, it starts from the beginning of the Parsha, all the rules of Yom Kippur, the Karbanot, the Goralot, the Ketoret, which is the incense, the Seir La'azazel, the goat that had to be flung off a mountain and fall to its gruesome death. And at the end of the parasha, we read the following. Vayeta zot lachem l'chukat olam l'chaper al b'nei Yisrael mikol chatotam achat bashana vayas kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe. After the Torah goes through all the rules of Yom Kippurim, the end is, this shall be to you an eternal decree, to bring atonement upon the children of Israel for all their sins once a year, and Aaron did as Hashem commanded Moshe. So nothing particularly earth-shattering or necessarily exciting in that verse. Let's just understand what it means. Well, you tell me, what does that pasuk mean? What is it teaching us?
That you can clear yourself from sins.
If you are okay. Observing the fight.
Yes.
You can clear yourself.
When?
Once a year.
Once a year. Any exceptions? Once a year. Any exceptions?
Exceptions to what?
To Yom Kippur. Meaning it says, Achat Bashana, once a year. Any exceptions noted in the verse? It is not a trick question.
What?
No, there are no exceptions. Every year. Right, no exceptions.
They don't mention right? An exception.
Right, so we should assume it was not a trick question. Any exceptions? No. Vayta zot lachem l'chukat olam l'chaper al b'nei Yisrael mikol chatotam, chukat olam forever. Achat bashana, once a year, forever. Once a year, forever. No exceptions. We can't decide that this year we're going to skip Yom Kippur. We're going to leave it for this year. We'll go. We'll make it up next year, or we're going to skip it. Chukat Olam.
Can't change the day.
Right? Eternal decree, Achat Bashana, forever.
It doesn't say that if you have a wall, it takes it off.
No exceptions.
Why shouldn't?
But it was.
What if you have a baby?
No. It's still Yom Kippur. It's still Yom Kippur, but you could eat. Because if you're fighting in a war, you should eat. But it's still Yom Kippur. Right? The Yom Kippur war didn't cancel Yom Kippur.
No, but it had to gather the people. They had to.
Yeah, but it was still Yom Kippur. But it was still Yom Kippur. You're right. That's an excellent point. Meaning
but it was only in Israel.
That's a good point. You're also raising a great point. What happens when there's a legitimate reason to break the rules? Does that mean that it's not Yom Kippur anymore? Meaning, let's just take Shabbat. you're walking, you're in home on Shabbat, you're cutting a salad, and you cut the tip of your finger off, and you got to go to the hospital. So you should get in the car and go to the hospital if it's serious, or you cut your, you have a serious injury, right? Does that mean that for you, it is not Shabbos? It's no longer Shabbos.
No, it is Shabbos.
Right? It's or it is Shabbos, but you have permission to break Shabbos. So when we think about Yom Kippur, right, we ask the question, as you said, about what happened on the Yom Kippur War. Did that mean for all the Chayalim, it was no longer Yom Kippur, or it was Yom Kippur?
It was, but different than another.
No doubt about it. But I know what did not happen that year. No one got up beforehand and said, we're canceling Yom Kippur this year. The Egyptians are gathering on the border. Let's cancel it, and we'll do it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Right? It was still Yom Kippur, but there were legitimate reasons to do that. Okay?
Right.
But we don't do that on Yom Kippur. Right? When Yom Ha'atzmaut is at an inconvenient time, too close before Shabbat, too close after Shabbat, right? It's very rare, by the way, that we celebrate Yom Ha'atzmaut on Hei Iyar. Because if Yom Ha'atzmaut falls out on Friday, we move it. If it falls out on Motzei Shabbat, on Sunday, we move it.
Sunday's fine.
No, because we don't want to Yom HaZikaron, so we move it. So it's very rare that actually we celebrate it.
On a Monday or Tuesday or so.
Right. Or Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but not on Thursday. Because if Yom...
on Thursday.
Right? Okay. So we've established that we don't cancel Yom Kippur.
But it's not a biblical holiday. Okay.
We don't cancel Yom Kippur. There are some rabbinic holidays which are moved. The Gemara in Masechet Megillah talks about the various days on which Purim can be celebrated depending on how it falls out and depending on what type of Jewish town one lives in. We don't have to get into the details, but Purim is sometimes, we don't do it anymore. Besides, I'm not talking about Shushan Purim, right? But besides... So Purim sometimes, according to the Gemara, could be celebrated different times. Also, not a biblical holiday, but it's not a Torah holiday, it's a biblical holiday. It appears in the Megillah. Okay, so, but none of this applies to Yom Kippur.
Can we move to the Pasuk before that?
Mm-hmm.
Try to understand what does it mean to kiper et ha-mikdash, et mikdash ha-kodesh, et oil mo'ed.
Ah, okay. Right, he shall.
Right.
That's an excellent question. I don't have a great answer to that question. V'chaper et mikdash hakodesh v'et ohel moed v'et amizbeach yichaper v'al kohanim v'al kol ha'am hakahal yichaper. I'll have to. Yeah, I'm not sure. Good question. Okay, so let's just get back down to our question. Okay, what's going on? So far nothing's going on. It's a pretty straightforward pasuk. We don't cancel Yom Kippur. Okay, Vayta zot lachem l'chatula. So, in the commentary to our parsha, the Meshech Chochma, one of the classic commentaries on the Torah, raises a question, right? He notes something very interesting in the in the Torah, in the Nevi'im. He says as follows. He says, Hine banevi'im, he says, if you look at the Nevi'im, lo niskar yom hakipurim. Let's just stop there. If you read the books of the Nevi'im, the books of the in the Tanakh after Sefer Devarim, Yehoshua, Malachim, Shoftim, all of those books, right? There is no mention of Yom Kippur.
Is it mention of all the other?
Good question. So Shula asked a very key question. Maybe the other holidays aren't mentioned either. So he mentions that even though Yom HaKippurim is not mentioned, Pesach is mentioned.
Yeah.
Okay? He says as follows, Lo kein Pesach. Shekol Yisrael bo mimkomam vehikrivu alfei rivavot pesachim. This is not the case when it comes to Pesach. When it comes to Pesach, we find in the Nevi'im where people came to Yerushalayim and they brought the Karban Pesach, they brought the Paschal sacrifice. So the Meshach Chachma, Meir Simcha of Divinsk, who lived from 1843 to 1926, he asks this question, what's going on? What happened?
Because it's historical.
What happened to Yom Kippur?
The character of the event is different. This is historical event, yeah. The Pesach. This is just designated day to clear yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Really has nothing with the...
So Shula's saying something interesting, that there is a difference. There is a difference between Pesach and Yom Kippur. Rav Meir Simcha of Divinsk tries to answer along the same lines, but not quite. What you're saying is the difference, and you have to explain why that would matter, though. One is the remembrance of a historical event, Yitziat Mitzrayim, the leaving from Egypt, and the other, Yom Kippurim, is an opportunity for every Jewish person to achieve atonement. So why is that an explanation? It's true, that is a conceptual important difference. Why is that an explanation as to why it doesn't appear in the Nevi'im? Why don't the Nevi'im say, and on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol did everything he had to do, and the people achieved... Why is your explanation of the difference, which is, I think, correct, reason not to include it in the Nevi'im for all those years? Hold on one second. I put Shula on the hot seat. You got to give her a chance to dig herself out.
What do you think about it? She has to dig in something.
Shula, the whole world is watching.
Personal.
More personal. There you go. Okay. Excellent. So let me read the Meshech Chachma here. Hinei b'nevi'im lo nizkar Yom Kippurim. Mipnei. Why? Kilo haya baze hergesh l'umi. Exactly as you said. Baruch shekivant. Exactly as you said. Because there wasn't a national feeling to Yom Kippur. Ki kulam hayu b'moshvotam. Everyone was at home.
It's not a vacation.
It's a different type of holiday. Back in the biblical time, it was a different... exactly. V'tanit yom echad b'shana eino pele. It's a one day a year fast. It's actually interesting. Meshech Chachma is telling us that Yom Kippur used to be far less of a big deal nationally,
yeah.
Right? No, now it's the biggest deal. But now it's topsy turvy. It's v'nahafochu.
Could it
right?
be because of the Yom Kippur War that it became so important?
No, it was always important before that.
But wait a minute. Let me just say something. You have Jews all over the world, whether they're from or not from. Everybody has some kind of Seder. Everybody has some kind of Pesach. A lot of them don't have Yom Kippur.
Okay, one second. I'm not interested in a debate now, which is more popular, which is not more popular. I'm interested in this question. Why in the Nevi'im is there no mention of Yom Kippur? So he says, because
personal.
Yom Kippur, ein lo haya bazeh hergesh lumi, ki kulam hayu b'moshvotam, v'tanit yom echad b'shana eino pele. It's a one day, one fast. Va'avodat hayom haya ose kohen gadol livado b'mikdash. What was the religious obligation of the day? Like we just read, the Kohen Gadol b'chvodo v'atzmo, all alone in the Beit HaMikdash, in one small place, Beit HaMikdash. No, it's as a on when it came to Pesach, everyone had to be involved in the Karban Pesach. So everyone had to come to Yerushalayim. Okay, Aliyah LeRegel. There's no Aliyah LeRegel when it comes, right? The mitzvah pratit, right? Yom Kippur, we don't look at it this way so much anymore. But Yom Kippur, in its essence, is a private mitzvah. Kichol ha-mitzvot. It's like putting on tefillin. We don't read about the throngs of people putting on tefillin in the Nevi'im because that's a private mitzvah. We don't read about, I don't know, people doing shechita in the time of the Beit HaMikdash. It's a private mitzvah.
But if you don't have minyan, you don't need it.
Lo chein Pesach, he says. Shekol Yisrael bo mimkomam v'krivu alfei rivavot pesachim. Not the case. This is not the case with Pesach. When thousands and hundreds of thousands of people would come to Yerushalayim and bring karbanot. And so, in, to explain this, right, we'll note, right, that Yom Kippur was a private holiday. Everyone did their own fast in their own home. The Kohen Gadol, who was the representative, the shaliach, if you will, of all of the Jewish people, he was the only one who had to work on that day. He went into the Beit HaMikdash, he had some help, and he did the avodah, the required sacrificial work that was necessary on that day, in the words of the Meshech Chachma, Livado BaMikdash, alone in the temple. It wasn't a national holiday. People did not come to Yerushalayim in order to see what was going on, but they did come to Yerushalayim on Pesach in order to see what was happening. So
but
he
you do need to come to be with the Kohen Gadol.
You don't have to.
No.
Doesn't say.
No.
Himself.
Yeah, he does it. You don't have to watch it. He does it. That's
but you don't
right.
see it if he's in the Kodesh.
That's exactly what the. Now, by the way, the Gemara. Yes, they have to. Yes, yes, yeah, exactly.
So you need all
no,
of them.
No, no. It doesn't say they have to be there. His
what
work, his work in the Beit HaMikdash on behalf of every of Kol Achenu V'Achiotenu B'nei Yisrael, wherever they are.
No activity.
They couldn't go. Could,
right.
They couldn't go you
by the way, the Gemara, yeah, the Gemara Masechet Yoma, the Gemara Masechet Yoma does paint a picture of what it was like when the Kohen who took the Seir La'Azazel out of Yerushalayim into the Midbar, into the desert. It does talk about some people watching, but those are the people who lived in Yerushalayim. So they had nothing to do that day. It was a day off. They were fasting. So they came and they watched the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen, bring the Seir La'Azazel. But if you lived in the Galil, you didn't come to Yerushalayim on Yom Kippur. Right? Exactly. You
but
stayed home.
Will do it there, no?
There's nothing to do. No, there's nothing to do. It's just one. That's what the Meshech Chachma says. Levado BaMikdash. The Kohen Gadol alone.
Added later on?
That's first of all, that's Rosh Hashanah.
No,
and you could also do that at your house. You don't need to come to Yerushalayim to hear the shofar. You could gather in
somebody can blow.
You could get right. Okay. So by the way, so this is very interesting because let's keep reading the Meshech Chachma. Right, the Meshech Chachma then goes on to explain why Yom Kippur changed. Meaning Yom Kippur is not in the Nevi'im because it was not a national holiday. But eventually it did become a national holiday. It did become a change. We see it ourselves. There is a change in the way people celebrate Yom Kippur. So why? Where did it change? So he says there's an exception. He says, Levad Bizman Bayacheni. So the Meshech Chachma, you know, clarifies the character, if you will, of Yom Kippur and says that it's changed. Yom Kippur, the character has changed over the course of the generations, and it moved from being a private chag, from being a private holiday, to something that did have national meaning. And he explains why. He says, so he continues, Levad Bizman Bayat Sheni. The Yom Kippur became a national holiday during the time of the second Beit HaMikdash. Why? Shayu Re'evim L'Devar Hashem. That people were hungry for the word of God. They were hungry for a divine or an experience with the divine. Zo Nivu'ah. Right? What do we call an experience with the divine, the highest level of experience with the divine, prophecy, nevuah, shepaskami Yisrael. At that time, by the time the second Beit HaMikdash rolled around, there was no more nevuah. Ah, v'rak ba'avodat kohen gadol, lifnai v'lifnim, zachu lahasaga krovah nevuah. The only time a year when there was anything that even came close to nevuah was the Avodah and the Beit HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. When the Kohen Gadol, all alone, it was the only time he could do this. One person, in one place, on one day of the year. The Kohen Gadol, in the Kodesh Kodashim on Yom Kippur. That's a unique event, and that is what came closest to Nevuah, says the Meshech Chachma. Kamo Shemru B'Sota Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph B'Yochanan Kohen Gadol U'B'Shimon HaTzadik U'Perakama D'Brachot. The Meshech Chachma quotes a Gemara. He quotes two Gemarot. Let me read you one from Masechet Brachot about what happened in the Kodesh Kadashim on Yom Kippur to give us a sense of why this was so important.
How the Kohen Kippur? That's what it's going to tell you?
No, listen. Here is the Tanya. This is from Masechet Brachot, Zayin Amud Aleph, 7a. Tanya. So a Brita. So this is a of Mishnaic vintage. Amar Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. Yishmael ben Elisha said the following. Now, the reason why it's important is because he was the Kohen Gadol. Yishmael ben Elisha. And so he's telling us what he experienced in the Beit HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. Pamachat, one time, on Yom Kippur. Nichnasni lahaktir kitoret lifnei v'leflim. I went in to bring the incense in the Kodesh Kadashim on Yom Kippur. Viraiti akatriel Yah Hashem Tzivaot. I saw God. Right? This is a name of God. He says, I saw God.
What is Katriel?
Akatriel Yah Hashem Tzivaot. Which Steinsalt says, Shu echad mishmotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu hamavtiim et shiltono ha'elyon. I saw God in his greatest glory as the master of the universe. Right? I saw him. Shehu yoshev al kisei ram v'nisa. I had a vision. I had a nevuah. It's not a chazon. The closest thing to a nevuah. I saw God on his kisei, on his throne. Right? Va'amar li Yishmael b'ni barcheni. Interesting. God says, Yishmael, give me a bracha. God wants a bracha from the Kohen Gadol. Amarti lo, so I said to him, it's very smart, because it's Yom Kippur. So and he has an opportunity here. Yihiratzom lefanecha. Right. Yihiratzom lefanecha sheyichbishu rachamecha et kascha. May it be your will, God, that your compassion overcome your anger. V'yagolu rachamecha al midotecha. And your rachamim, your mercy. Compassion, your mercy, overtake your midot, v'titnaheg im banecha b'midat harachamim, and you should interact with your children with mercy, v'tikanes lahem lifnim mishurat adin, and deal with them above and beyond
the law,
meaning be nice to them, even though they may not deserve it. V'na'aneli b'rosho, and he nodded, God nodded his head. I mean, this is a like crazy, wild Gemara. Like, what do you do? What does it mean when you nod your head? I agree. Yeah, okay, that's a good. I accept your bracha, right? Shelo tiye v'kimash molan. What does this teach us? Shelo tiye birkat hedyot kala beinecha. That when a simple person, I mean, gives you a bracha, that it shouldn't be something which you take for granted. Meaning, God Himself accepted. Requested a bracha from a human being and accepted his tefillah.
This is a midrash.
Yes, it's a midrash. Yes, correct. You're asking the perfect question, Shula. Did this really happen? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it really happened. What is Chazal trying to teach us? The rabbis are trying to teach us something, that there was something going on in the Beit HaMikdash on Yom Kippurim, that the Kohen Gadol felt something as the Meshach, and this is how the Meshach Chachma reads it too, right? He says, Zachu lahasaga krova lenevuah. Whatever was going on in there, this was the closest thing to nevuah. So you have to remember, let's just go step by step. We're at the time of the second Beit HaMikdash, there's no nevuah, and all of a sudden everyone's showing up in Yerushalayim for Yom Kippurim. Why? Because since there's no nevuah, they're coming to Yerushalayim in order to be near the one place in the one time a year where they're able to experience God. While there was Nevuah, there was a Navi in my town, there may have been a Navi in your town, there was a regular, direct interaction with God. It's gone. So while there was a regular interaction with God, I stayed home on Yom Kippur because I didn't need to go to that one place in order to understand what it means to directly interact with God. But now we're out of Nevi'im. We're done. There's only one day a year where this is going to happen. And it's only going to happen in one place and at one specific time in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur with the Kohen Gadol. So the people started going. Lachain, says the Meshech Chachma, Ba'u mikol makom hagedolim lirot p'nei Kohen Gadol ulishmoa devar Hashem zo nivu'ah v'ze emet v'tzedek. And we, by the way, we read this, right? We read in the Musaf on Yom Kippurim a prayer called Mar'eh Kohen, the appearance of the Kohen. When he came out of the Kodesh HaKadashim, we sing about how he looked, right? People came to see what a person looked like right after they had a direct revelation, communication, interaction with God. So even though the Pasuk says, Achat Bashana, every year, the Nevi'im don't talk about it because it wasn't a big deal, but it became a big deal. It wasn't a national thing because everyone was at home celebrating Yom Kippurim on their own, and they didn't feel anything missing in their life because they had a Navi. Nevi'im would travel around. They lived in town, especially the big cities. They had a Navi. But when there was no more Nevuah, people began to miss that, and they decided that they were going to come. So now we come to this other Gemara, which is amazing, and then we'll come to the piece from Rabbi Soloveitchik. This other Gemara is really fascinating. There was a time when not only do we not have an account of the Jewish people celebrating Yom Kippur in the Nevi'im, but we have an account in the Gemara where they did cancel it. They canceled it. They ate, they drank, they sang on Yom Kippur. Let's read the Gemara. Historically, I will read it to you.
The day was still there.
I know it's hard to believe. I'll read it to you. Masechet Moed Katan, Daf Tet Amud Aleph, 9a, for those keeping score at home. Amar Rav Parnach, Amar Rav Yochanan. So this is, by the way, the Gemara here is talking about the celebration of the Chanukat Beit HaMikdash of Shlomo HaMelech. Beit HaMikdash number one. Okay? This is, the Gemara is talking about that, and related to that, the Gemara says, Ota Shana Lo Asu Yisrael Yom HaKippurim. It's black on white. That day, the Jewish people did not celebrate Yom Kippur. The 7 days of celebration of the dedication of the Beit HaMikdash coincided with Yom Kippur, and the people were eating and feasting and celebrating.
What you said before.
I will tell you.
In honor of the celebration of Chanukah Beit HaMikdash.
Okay, let's read.
But
correct.
You said before, you don't cancel Yom Kippur, just things go on in Yom Kippur.
No, but here it seems they canceled it. It was pre-planned. Vayu do'agim va'omrim. Then the people started getting nervous, right in the middle of their party, like, maybe this is not right after all. Shema nidchayvu sonehem sheYisrael kalya. Maybe the enemies of the Jewish people. That's a euphemism. Whenever the Gemara wants to talk about the Jewish people possibly being cursed or punished, it never says the Jewish people. It says the enemies of the Jewish people, but it means the Jewish people. It's like in the old days when we did this.
Right.
Cancer. Right? No one liked to say the word cancer out loud.
Cancer.
Right? So we don't like to talk about the Jewish people being punished, so we say, Sonehem shel Yisrael. So the people started saying, maybe we're going to be punished for skipping, canceling Yom Kippur. Yatzta bat kol va'amra lahem. They heard a heavenly voice that was issued and said, Kulchem mezumanim l'chaye olam haba. You are all designated for life in the world to come. Meaning, it's fine. It's true, Yom Kippur, and you canceled it, that's fine. So the question is, how is this possible? Right? Why did they cancel it? So I think the answer can be found in the Pesukim in Divrei Hayamim.
I don't have it.
That tell us what happened that day. Uchichalot Shlomo lehitpalel va'esh yardame hashamayim va'tochal ha'olah. This is the account in Divrei Hayamim about the Chanukat Beit HaMikdash in the time of Shlomo. And when Solomon finished praying and the fire descended from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Uchvod Hashem malei et habayit. And the priest could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the house. And all the children of Israel saw the descent of the fire and the glory of the house of the Lord, and they kneeled on their faces to the ground on the floor, and they prostrated themselves and said, V'hodot Lashem ki tov ki liolam chasto. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is eternal.
One time event.
But what happened? The same thing that happens on every Yom Kippur happened on that day too. Normally, in order for God's presence to come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you need the Kohen Gadol and the Ketoret and all and the Jewish people fasting all over the place. And then the Kohen Gadol had this one time a year experience of God. Here, God is saying, you all experienced me today. Meaning every single person on that day had what the Kohen Gadol usually is the only one to have.
What was the day?
Hanukkah? Yom Kippur, yeah.
But the first...
Right? Uchavod Hashem, ki male'a, v'chol b'nei Yisrael ro'im b'redet ha'esh, uchavod Hashem al habayit. Every single person had that experience that normally only the Kohen Gadol has. So, yes, it's true that Yom Kippur was canceled that day. But on the other hand, the same thing that normally happened on Yom Kippur, only for the Kohen Gadol, happened for everyone on the Yom Kippur. So God says, don't worry. Kulchem muzumanim l'chay olam haba. You didn't miss out on anything. Normally, on Yom Kippurim, you would vicariously experience my presence through the Kohen Gadol. This year, you have it directly. Kulchem muzumanim l'chay olam haba.
Every single Jew was there?
Unclear. But it says, v'chol b'nei Yisrael, and all the children of Israel. Does that literally mean them? No, but most of them.
Where did he take it from?
This is the Navi talking.
What was the day?
This is the Divrei Hayamim.
Divrei Hayamim is actually a repetition and summary of...
It's not only repetition. There's some new material too. Some of this is new. Some of it isn't, some of this is new.
Where is it listed that it was an event like that?
Right here, I'm reading it. I'm reading you Psukim from Divrei HaNavim. Yeah. Those are Perek Zion, Pasuk Aleph, Bet, and Gimel.
That's not the Gemara.
No. The Gemara says they canceled it. And I'm suggesting that when the Gemara says they canceled it, and God said, Kulchem mizumanim l'chei olam haba, why? Because you had the same experience that you normally would have on Yom Kippur without Yom Kippur. This day. This was a unique day in history. V'chol b'nei Yisrael, all the Jewish people, experienced God.
What was the special day?
Chanukat Beit HaMikdash.
Right. One time thing.
That's why. One time. There's one time in history that Yom Kippur was actually canceled.
We'll have again Beit HaMikdash.
And only if the Chanukat Beit HaMikdash coincides with it. Right. So we have to have a good scheduler.
Yeah.
Now we come to Rabbi Soloveitchik, right? Because this whole thing really is about, right?
We never mention it in school.
See that? Live and learn.
You have to go back to school.
We now have...
I think he'll explain why this day...
No, Rabbi Soloveitchik's... The whole point... Let's go back to Rabbi Meir Simcha of Divinsk. The whole reason why the paradigm of Yom Kippur changed was the model, the way it was experienced by the people, from prati to le'umi, right, from private to national, is because people desired
to be close to God.
And one of the major themes in Rabbi Soloveitchik's writings is that is natural. Meaning it's not a surprise. We shouldn't be surprised that the Jewish people changed the way Yom Kippur was experienced. Because people generally, naturally, crave to be close to God. And they will do what they need to do to find it. And in that time, it meant traveling from the Galil or the Golan or further, which is wasn't, you know, you couldn't get on an Eged bus back and be in Yerushalayim in 2 hours, right? It was, this was a, this took days, right? And there to go. And so let me just read you
Rabbi,
a little bit from Rabbi Soloveitchik.
It's for people that don't want to make a commitment all year round. But one day, okay.
No, I'm not talking about the way Yom Kippur is experienced now. I'm saying, why did it change that so many people, according to Rabbi Meir Simcha Devince, start going to Yerushalayim for Yom Kippur? Because they missed that regular interaction with God, which was through the Navi.
They created it themselves.
And now the Navi is gone, so they went to the one place where this is the best they can do. They couldn't go to a Navi anymore. The best they can do is wait for the Kohen Gadol to come out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and see what he looked like and hear what happened and hear the story that we just read, right? You could imagine that on the day that this happened, right, on the day that Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha was asked to bless God, he probably, I would imagine, came out of the Beit HaMikdash and said, you're never going to believe what just happened. Here's what just happened, right? And they crave that. And so Rabbi Soloveitchik, again, writes this in many places. He says, there is no hidden corner of the natural or spiritual world which man's consciousness, pining for its divine beloved, does not peer into and scrutinize. I mean, we will do anything to try to find God. We're going to explore space. And for some of us, that inspires us. We're going to go on a hike. We're going to go to the ocean. We're going to read the Torah. We're going to study science. We're going to look into the complexity of human nature. We're going to do anything we can in order to try to understand how God operates. Because it's a natural... And Rabbi Soloveitchik argues that, we may not know this, but he argues that every cultural phenomenon, meaning every product of human creativity, has its roots in our desire to touch the divine. Meaning, the reason why there's the NASA Space Center, we dress it up as a desire, as being scientific. But why do we care about science? Because the more we know about science, that means the more we know about the way God created the world. If I know if I know biology, I know now how God's creation works. So it's all, everything we do, he argues, Rabbi Soloveitchik, is undergirded, right, by our desire to know him. Human consciousness carefully investigates the buds of transcendence that appear every so often in the spiritual desert. Flesh and blood man longs to escape from the straits of the limited, bounded, and contingent world and go out into the limitless, independent, wide open spaces. This search is an act of self-transcendence, which is truly the essence of man's cultural ascent. Everything we do is an attempt to try, right? When we study Torah, ultimately, we're doing it to understand God's word. If you study biology, you do it to understand God's creation. If you study any aspect of science, sociology, history, it's all an attempt to understand how God operates in the world. That's the natural place. That's the natural tendency of a human being, which is exactly what Rabbi Simcha Devince was saying. That's why Yom Kippur changed. Yom Kippur changed because people desired to touch the divine. The Nevi'im were gone, and the prophets were gone, and the only way for them to get there, they couldn't go to space. There was no such thing as science in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, real science. There was no, right? There was the physical world, but if you wanted to touch it the closest way possible, it was only through seeing the Kohen Gadol when he came out of the Beit HaMikdash on Yom Kippur in Yerushalayim, hence the paradigm shift in the way that Yom Kippur was celebrated.
Is that the same time chronological that Greece was on?